Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
I want to welcome you back to this week's class, which is chapter 4 in the Foundations of Faith course. And this lesson is entitled Faith Towards God. Now, there's several objectives for this particular lesson. And upon completion of this chapter, you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory, define faith, identify different types of faith, define the term faith towards God. You'll be able to explain why faith towards God is important, and you'll be able to explain how faith can be increased. Our key verse is going to be found in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The second of the foundation of faith doctrine is called faith towards God. Faith towards God refers to your attitude towards God. Some men hate God and rebel against him. Others are afraid of him, and your attitude should be one of faith towards God. Now, faith and repentance are both necessary for genuine conversion. To turn to God without forsaking sin is not true repentance, and we discovered that in the last few lessons. To try to forsake sin without turning to God in faith ends in failure. The ministry of Paul to the unsaved was this, in Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Both repentance and faith towards God are necessary for salvation. Now, as a definition, faith means to believe and have assurance of something. To believe means to have trust. The word faith, believe, and trust all mean the same thing when we use them in relations to God. The Bible defines faith as, according to Hebrews 11:1, it's the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. And the Amplified Bible translates it this way in Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of the reality. Faith is perceiving as real what is not revealed to the senses. So faith gives assurance that the things promised in the future are true and that unseen things are real. Now, there is a difference between faith and hope. Faith differs from hope in that hope is a desire or attitude of expectancy concerning things in the future. Faith is belief in something you cannot see, but have assurance you already possess. Hope is in the mind, and faith is in the heart. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it says this, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and a helmet, the hope of salvation. So it's really interesting that in this verse, faith is associated with the region of your heart, like a breastplate, and hope is a helmet associated with your head. So hope is a mental attitude of expectancy about the future. So it's dealing with your thinking. And faith is a condition of the heart producing belief in God. In Romans 10:10, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So it's not enough to accept the gospel with the mind. This is not true scriptural faith, and it does not produce change in your life. True scriptural faith, or believing with the heart, always produces changes in your life. The result is something experienced in the present, not something hoped for in the future. Well, some people might say, well, that's mind over matter. Faith is not the same as mind over matter, which is taught by some religions. Mind over matter teaches that man can overcome all problems in the real world, the world of matter, by using his mind or his reasoning or his willpower. Now, these teachings are all man-centered, and they rely on self, not on God. Mind over matter is not based on the Word of God. Faith is God-centered, not man-centered. It is the gift of God, not something man produces through self-efforts of his own mind. So there are different types of faith, and these are some of the different types. First one we're going to talk about is natural faith. This is a natural trust in things that have proven stable. For example, faith that the chair on which you are now sitting on will support you. This faith is not faith towards God. It is a natural faith in certain things around you that you have learned by experience, and they're usually dependable. The following types of faith are what we mean when we speak of faith towards God. The first one is sanctifying faith. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live, I live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So sanctifying faith enables the believer to live a holy life after conversion. You will learn more about sanctification in the last chapter of this study, and we'll discuss going on to perfection. Faith towards God includes sanctifying faith, which is believing that you can live a holy life. You do not do this by your own strength, but through the power of God which dwells within you. Another faith towards God is defensive faith. Faith is one of the weapons of defense against your spiritual enemy, who is Satan. In Ephesians 6:16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, Satan will try to attack your faith by sending darts of unbelief into your mind. Having faith towards God provides a spiritual defense against these attacks. Another faith towards God is saving faith. In Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So faith towards God is combined with true repentance, is saving faith. Salvation is knowing, believing, and personally accepting the gospel message. Saving faith requires a personal response towards God. No person can respond on behalf of another. Each person is saved by his own response to the gospel. Faith is a fact. It is a gift of God to men to enable them to be saved. And it says this in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. But faith is also an act, because each person must act upon the faith given him by God. Faith towards God is your response, your action by faith towards him. And after you experience faith towards God and become a believer, the spiritual fruit of faith, the gift of faith, both increase your faith towards God. The gift and fruit of faith are discussed in detail in Harvest International Institute's course entitled Ministry of the Holy Spirit. Misplaced faith. The doctrine you're studying is called faith towards God. It's not just faith in general, it is directed faith. It's directed towards God. So you can have misdirected faith as well. Misdirected faith can be in natural weapons, for example. In Psalms 44:6, it says, for I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. So we can be trusting in the natural things around us, and the scriptures say not to do that. Great men. Psalms 146:3 says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. We could trust in ourselves. Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. We can be trusting in idols. In Isaiah 42:17, it says, they shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, ye are our gods. False prophets. Jeremiah 4:7-8 says, trust ye not in lying words. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. We can put our trust in natural power, which would be misplaced. In Psalms 27, it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in wealth. In Psalms 52:7, it says, lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Or we can trust, lastly, in our friends. In Psalms 41:9, it says, ye, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. So having faith is not enough. Your faith can be misplaced. True faith is directed faith, and it's directed in faith towards God. So here's some things about the importance of faith. There are two reasons why faith towards God is required. First off, it's necessary for salvation. The first reason faith towards God is important is that you cannot be saved without faith. In Mark 16:16, this is, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." In Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." In Luke 8:12, it says, "These by the wayside are they which hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, that they lest they should believe and be saved." So you cannot please God without faith. The second reason faith is important is that you cannot please God without it. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "Without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, there are different levels of faith. The Bible reveals that there are various levels of faith. Jesus spoke of people who did not use their faith as being faithless. In Matthew 17:17, you'll find an instance where he did that. He also spoke of those with little faith in Matthew 6:30, Matthew 8:26, and 14:31, and also in Luke 12:28. And of those with great faith in Matthew 8:10, Matthew 15:28, and Luke 7:9. So the Bible teaches that each person has a certain amount of faith of which he's given as a gift of God. In Romans 12:3, it says, "According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So each believer has some faith because it is through faith that you are saved. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace you are saved through faith." So now we're going to discuss how to increase faith. Sanctifying faith enables you to live a holy life. Increased faith will help you to go on to perfection. Defensive faith shields you from the attacks of the enemy, who is Satan. And if you increase your faith, you increase your spiritual defensive forces. The Bible tells us how to increase faith. In Romans 10:17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You increase faith towards God through hearing the word of God. You must first hear the word of God in order to repent of sin and receive Jesus as Savior. Saving faith comes by hearing God's word. After you're saved, biblical teaching and preaching will continue to increase your faith. The more you hear the word of God, the more your faith will increase. The more faith increases, the easier it will be to live a holy life and defend against the spiritual attacks of the enemy. So really, just a small amount of faith is very powerful. According to Matthew 17:20, Jesus said to them, "For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Nothing is impossible if you even have a small amount of faith. Faith and works. Faith is a gift of God. It cannot be increased by works. By faith we mean that which you believe. By works we mean that which you do. The Bible teaches that now by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So faith is a gift of God to believe. This does not mean that works or what we do are not important, but faith comes first as a gift of God. Works, or what you do, are the test of whether or not your faith is real. James wrote this, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily bread, and one of you saith unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you gave them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." So your works are how you live and react to the needs of those around you are a test of the reality of your faith. James sums up the connection between faith and works by the example of the relationship between man's body and spirit. The Bible teaches that when a man dies, his spirit leaves his body. And James said this, in James 2:26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So your actions should reflect the living faith within you. In Galatians 3:11, it says, for the just shall live by faith. As an example of faith, Hebrews chapter 11 lists the names of many people who are great examples of faith, but there's one man in the Bible who's called the father of them all that believe, according to Romans 4:11. His name is Abraham. Christians are those who walk in the steps of faithful Abraham, according to Romans 4:12, and are spoken of as the children of Abraham, Galatians 3:7. Because of his faith towards God, Abraham was justified. James 2:23, it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed for him as righteousness. When Paul wanted to illustrate faith towards God, he used Abraham as an example. And we find in Romans 4:23, 25, he said, now it is not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So Paul said that the record of Abraham's faith, which resulted in justification, was not kept just for him. The record was kept so that we also, by believing in the gospel message, could be justified. The reasons Abraham was an example of faith are as follows. First off, he heard the word of God. Abraham listened to the promises of God. We find in Romans 4:13, it says this, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through righteousness of faith. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So he believed the word of God. He not only heard the promises of God, but he believed. Romans 4:18 says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And in 1 Peter 1:8-9, it says, like Abraham, it is by believing that we receive the promises of God, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So he turned from his hopeless condition. Hearing the word of God resulted in the change in Abraham's life. In Romans 4:18, it says, for who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So just as men and women lost in sin, Abraham faced a hopeless condition in the natural world. The promise to become the father of many nations could only come through God because Abraham and Sarah were too old to have children. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ. There is no other way you can receive the promise except by faith in his plan of salvation. In Ephesians 3:17, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So he accepted the promise as fact. In Romans 4:20, he says he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So this is faith towards God, and it's an example for us. The faith towards God demonstrated by Abraham is an example for you to follow, because first off, you must hear the word of God. Secondly, you need to believe the word of God. Thirdly, you need to turn from your hopeless condition, which means a change through repentance from dead works, which we discussed in the last lesson. And fourthly, we need to accept God's promise as fact. His promise is that you are justified by repentance and faith towards God through Jesus Christ. So that is the end of this lesson. Go ahead and do your chapter self-test in your booklet. And the next lesson will be on the doctrines of baptism.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.